So, all right, well, I'm going to get started, so we're staying on track. This is my last presentation, except for the documentary that I'm going to show that was filmed here in Washington State by the BBC. I think that's at 7:45. I'm basically going to cover some of the same topics I did with bears and cougars. So talk about the history of wolves, a little bit about their biology, you know, how many pups they have and their social structure, and then I'll end up with I have about five or six slides on kind of the status of wolves in Washington and what the government, the federal government and the state government are doing as far as the wolves in Washington state. So without further ado, we will get started. That's what I'm just going to talk about. So that's basically the presentation, is the biology status and the wolf conservation plan. I have three different handouts over there that I haven't put out before, and they're all on wolves. And two of the sheets are the the 10 most asked questions about wolves, and then there's another one that talks about wolf actual data on wolf depredations, meaning what's the real story as far as wolves preying on cattle or livestock, and some really good information on that. And as always, if anybody has a good wolf story that they want to share with everybody, I'm always willing to listen to a good wolf story. So as far as wolves in Washington State, you remember that when I talked about grizzly bears, this Hudson Bay kept records of all the animals they trapped during this almost 30-year period. And for grizzly bears, it was something like 4,000 grizzly bears had been hunted in this period. Well, they took almost 15,000 wolves in that 30-year period out of Washington State. Basically, in the 1800s and early 1900s, there were bounties again on the wolves. It was shoot a wolf and bring the pelt in and we'll pay you money for it. By the 1930s, they were gone from Washington State. There were occasional wolves seen in the state, but no successful breeding wolf packs since 1930 in Washington State. And it's the same story with grizzly bears. It's, you know, it's humans in our expanding population, populating areas, building roads, trapping and poisoning the wolf. It's, you know, the same story with the grizzly bear. It seems like we can't live with anything that wants to compete with us for superiority in the woods. So, as this cartoon kind of points out, basically the wolf, these are wolves over here, they basically had a, you know, the cards were stacked against them. We were poisoning them. There were bounties. They were shot on sight. And, the wolf basically had no chance to continue living in Washington State, at least not as long as we didn't tolerate them. So what happened in 1973, the federal government actually listed the gray wolf as an endangered species. And then in Washington State, in 1980, they were listed as endangered. And as most people know, once you get on the endangered species list, you can't. It's the highest level of protection. You can't shoot them. You can't hunt them. You can't trap them. What was interesting is then in 2008, the federal government delisted the wolf. And what was interesting is they split Washington State into one third and then two thirds over here. So everything east of Highway 97, the wolf was considered no longer endangered. And then if the wolf lives over here on the west side, it was still on the federal endangered list. But the wolf issue is such a hot potato that look what happened next. So in 2008, the federal government restored endangered species listing. Then in 2009, they delisted it, except for Wyoming. And then in 2010, they relisted it. So basically what's happened with the wolf, it's such a controversial species that as soon as it was delisted, then the environmental and conservation groups argued that, you know, wait a minute, it's too soon, there aren't enough wolves. So then it would get back on, through lobbying, it would get back on the endangered species list. Well, as soon as that happened, the ranching community and hunting groups said, well, wait a minute, I see wolves everywhere, we should be able to hunt them. And so it's been this flip-flop. So currently, I myself am confused as to, I know that in Washington State, they are considered endangered as far as the state government is concerned. I believe this line still exists federally. So if you live over here, you know, the wolves are off the endangered species list. But this could change next week. A little bit about the biology and differences. Mainly, wolves are in the dog family. So big characteristic in the prints is all dogs, dog families, you always get the claws. And if you remember yesterday, I was talking about the cougars. They have retractable claws. So in a cougar print, being it's a cat, you would not see any claws. And then as far as differences, if people often confuse coyotes with wolves. And the major difference is, and I'll show you some other photos, but the coyotes have long, narrow snouts and pointy ears. And a wolf has shorter ears and a more of a broad snout. And of course, there's a size difference. So on the left side is our two wolves, and on the right side are two coyotes. And this is very typical coyote, long, narrow snout, pointy ears. And this is a wolf, but, you know, if you're not really up on the wolf and the coyote, you know, this to me looks like a coyote. So it's easy to mistake coyotes and wolves. And now here's your test. These are, they're all mixed up. There's coyotes and wolves in here. So number one, coyote. Yep. This is a pregnant wolf. And actually, this wolf, this is the wolf in the lookout pack, which you will see and hear her story in the film at 7:45. This wolf was the first alpha female in Washington State that bred and actually had pups. This is a coyote, right? That is a, yeah, this is, I think, a one or two-year-old wolf. That's a wolf also. This is a male. And that is a, like, that's actually a wolf.
It's a small one.
It's like a 10-year-old wolf pup.
It's like a German Shepherd.
And then down here we have coyote.
Coyote.
Coyote and
wolf.
Hey, you guys are good. All right. Okay. This is just a snow track. This is a wolf track. This is a coyote track. And everything's the same except for the size. Wolf track would be 4 inches long. Coyote track would be 2 inches. There's an estimated, and I don't know, someone gave me this figure, but there are wolf-dog hybrids, and I was told that there are like almost 10,000 wolf-dog hybrids in Washington State. Mm-hmm. And these are all wolf, these are all hybrids.
Wild or pets?
Some are pets, some are wild. They're not, they're outlawed or illegal in King County and certain cities, but yeah, the 10,000 figure seems high to me, but okay, a little bit about the natural history wolves. They're, you know, very adaptable in their diet. This is key. They're highly social and they live in packs. Average pack size is 5 to 10, although in Yellowstone National Park they've documented packs up to 30. They roam over a large area, 200, 400 square miles. And I'll talk about lone wolves a little bit later. But this is the big key to wolf natural history, is they're social animals. They have alpha male, alpha female. And get this, this is really cool. So the male, all the males, the whole community rears the young. Totally different than grizzly bears and cougars, where the male has like no part in the young. The wolves are a real community. So a one-year-old or a two-year-old male or female, like if there's denning pups, if the alpha female has pups and the pack goes out to hunt, one of the one-year-old cousins or aunts will stay at the den with and help, and you know, basically guard the pups and take care of them. They mate for life. The alpha female and the alpha male are monogamous, unless one of them is killed through, you know, disease or accident or being get shot. Then they'll find a new mate. But they are monogamous. They'll live average of 8 to 13 to 15 years in the wild. They do everything together. So, you know, at 2 to 3 years, a female's ready to breed. February, they mate. They'll dig out a den, and in April or May, the pups are born. 4 to 6 pups. The wolf has quite a bit of a higher reproductive rate than cougars and a higher reproductive rate than the grizzly bears that I talked about. So they can handle a certain amount of mortality, hunting and trapping a little bit better because they're able to reproduce a little bit more. At 8 weeks, the young are weaned. At 5 months, they can travel with the adults. 7 to 8 months, they start to join the hunt, and they'll reach full size at 9 months. One interesting thing is after the kids are born, the pups are born, they'll spend about a month in their natal den where they were born. And after about 4 to 5 weeks, the mother will move them to what's called a rendezvous site. It's like a secondary den. And I've never heard an explanation of why they move. But they leave the den where they were born and move to a what's called a rendezvous site. I've never heard a good explanation of why they do that. And sometimes they'll move to even a second rendezvous site. Primary prey, no surprise, elk, moose, deer. They do like this cartoon. wolves. Remember, wolves will take the young, the old, the lame. And the reason is that the wolves are called, they're coursing predators. They're long distance predators. So unlike, remember I talked about the cougar? It's a sprinter, and it'll pounce on its prey, and so it'll take, it could be the largest bull or the youngest calf. Well, wolves hunt by chasing their prey, and they're distance runners. So think about it. As you run, if you run a quarter mile or a mile, if you're old or if you're sick or you're lame, those are the ones that the wolves are going to get. So they do kind of contribute to the vitality of an elk herd or a deer herd by leaving, you know, the strongest bulls survive to breed, and that contributes to the health of the deer and elk populations. But yeah, they'll pick out, you know, guys like this for their. So of course they eat other things. If they live on the coast, coastal wolves eat fish, salmon, all these things. Marmot, grouse, beaver. These are all on the food the menu. A couple things. The larger the prey, the larger your pack size, and the larger body size of the wolf. So in Yellowstone National Park, there are packs of wolves that prey 50% or more on bison, and bison are huge. So to take down a bison, you can't be a scrawny little wolf. You got to be a big guy. And so they found that the larger pack sizes and larger body sizes, the wolves kind of adapt to that, and so they're stronger when they're taking down the bison. And then, you know, if you're hunting a deer or elk, it's a little bit less formidable prey, so the wolf pack could be smaller. And also, the more prey there is, they're actually a smaller home range. That's no surprise. Wolves like cougars and grizzly bears, they're called keystone species, and these are, the large carnivores that have a big impact on an ecosystem by them, because they hunt and kill the large ungulates. And the cool thing about all this is it's all connected, because like in Yellowstone National Park, when there were too many deer and elk, they graze on all the aspen and the willows, which get chomped down to knee high. And if there were, when they introduced wolves to Yellowstone National Park, the deer and elk could not stand near the riparian areas and just eat all day. They had to be looking out for the wolves. So what happened was the aspen came back and the willows grew back, which meant there was more food for the beavers, which meant there were more beaver ponds. And what it is, it creates this ripple effect. So the wolf and the deer and the elk all have it's all a big web, and it's all connected. It's just like I learned that, I think, in seventh grade about the web of life in biology class. Everything is connected, and we still don't understand all the connections, but you take the wolf out of the ecosystem and things change. Now I'm going to talk about the wolf specifically in Washington State. So, first of all, there were no wolves in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming prior to 1995. In 1995 and 1996, the federal government trapped 15 wolves in Canada and released them in Yellowstone. This was 1995. And then in 1996, I think they caught another 15 more and brought them down to Yellowstone and released them. So that's how we got the wolves that we have now in the western states. They were brought down from Canada and released. Since then, those 30 wolves have spread into all of Idaho, all of Montana, all of Wyoming. They've basically repopulated where they used to be. That was because we introduced them. As far as Washington, the first wolf Well, there were occasional wolves in 1996, but it was 2008. Let me go to the next slide here. So this is the very first pack that appeared in Washington. It was 2008. It was called the Lookout Pack, and here's Lake Chelan, and Twisp, the town of Twisp is right here, and Met House here, and of course Holden is like right in here somewhere. So this is the first confirmed pack, and this was 2008. And these are actual photos. These are all actual photos of that pack. They had six pups one year, the breeding female. These are all the pups. But guess what happened in 2008 in December? A local rancher went and basically shot, I think, seven or almost the whole pack disappeared. And if you read the newspaper, and actually, where's Mary?
Right here.
Mary actually knows some of the people. So the story with the poaching, the wolves were poached, but the way they found out was that somebody went to the local FedEx office to with a package and dropped it off at the FedEx office. And the guy that was checking it in, you know, stamping it and getting ready to ship, he noticed there was blood coming out of the box. Well, I don't know if there's some rule that says, you know, if you've got blood coming out of a box, you know, you better call the police. But so I don't know what the rule is, but turns out that the person that had poached the wolves had badly packed a wolf hide and was wanted to ship it to Canada so it would get tanned and treated or whatever. And Mary actually knows some of the characters in the whole story. Do you have anything else to add to it? Or
I would just say that they had the hard thing about it is that they were like local heroes, these people who did shoot the wolves were seen as being within their rights and you know, locally.
Yeah, so I'll get to that a little bit, but you know, in this area, which is Okanagan County up in the north part of Washington, it's one area where at least I would call them the vocal minority are in the media and in the paper every day talking about, you know, let's get rid of the wolves but I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So basically, this is the history of this wolf pack, except that if you go to the movie at 7:45, you'll find out something really interesting. I don't want to spoil it about this. It's not all sad news. So the second pack was identified over here called the Diamond Pack, and of course, this is the border with Idaho. So Idaho, some of the wolf packs are, the dispersing wolves are moving over from Idaho, and some are moving down from Canada. And actually, the Lookout Pack, the alpha male was from coastal BC, and the alpha female was from Alberta. So somehow they met down here and started that pack. So, you know, this is some photos of the Diamond Pack. There was another pack, the Salmo Pack, the Blues Pack down in Oregon, and let me back up one. So I haven't updated this slide, but there is now a wolf pack around here and around Cleellum. There's one near Wenatchee, and I believe there's one or two more in here. So they are starting to come back into Washington State. And I'll tell you right now, but this Lookout Pack, the alpha female, actually it wasn't the alpha female, it was a young female, a two-year-old female, survived the poaching, swam, came over these hills, swam across Lake Chelan, and went to Cleellum, and she actually met a mate down there, and so she created her own pack, so they did not kill off the lookout, all the lookout pack. That lone female, there were two wolves that survived the poaching, and she was one. And she actually traveled all the way down to Clee Ellen, which is actually right here, and found a mate. And all this is in the movie, but this is just a couple of the current numbers. That the current numbers of wolves in these states, the number of packs and successful breeding pairs. They did a couple surveys in Washington State. In general, most people support wolf recovery. And
all the 11% live in Okanagan County.
So these 11% live up in Okanagan County. It's true. Okanagan County has some very vocal county commissioners that, again, if you go to the movie, you'll see just how vehemently they oppose the wolf. I mean, because they interview some of these guys. And then this is no surprise if you all these, this 50% all live in King County in Seattle probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these strongly opposed down here, these guys all live in the Republic or Northeast Washington. I mean, to be honest with you, if you're a rancher and you make your living as a rancher and you've got cattle, that's your lifehood, ranching. So, there is a legitimate, the wolf needs to be managed. You can't just let them go willy-nilly and eat it, although statistically they don't really prey a significant amount on cattle and sheep. But if you're making your living off of that, I don't want to belittle the fact that a rancher, they're concerned about, wolves taking their, eating what's basically their livelihood. But there are programs. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But as far as the state of Washington, when the first wolves started to come back into Washington State, somebody in Olympia rightfully decided, well, we better, before the state gets overrun with wolves, we better come up with a management plan. And so they came up with a management plan, and I'll talk a little bit more about it, but the two highlights in the management plan for Washington State is, one, no wolves is not an option, meaning they're not going to eradicate the wolf. And this is interesting, reintroduction is not an option. So in the Washington State plan, unlike Idaho, they will never trap a wolf outside of the state and bring it in to Washington State and release it. If the wolves are going to repopulate Washington, they're going to have to do it on their own. Because reintroduction was such a hot potato that no politician wanted to even go there, or any biologist wanted to go there, because there was so much opposition to reintroducing wolves. So the Washington State, they formed a citizen group of 17 citizens, and then the directors, 18, and it includes a bunch of biologists, some ranchers, and they came up with the management plan for Washington State, and this is what they did. This is their management plan. They divided the state into three sections, and they determined in each one of these sections how many wolves they would allow in each section. So they actually have a number. And what an interesting thing is, they will allow reintroduction from, like, say, eastern Washington to southern Cascade. So they will do, they will allow movement of wolves, trapping them and moving them around, but only within the state. And I'll get back to that. So as far as livestock conflict issues, there's a whole host of management stuff you can do to protect your cattle and sheep. lethal control is one option. If you've got a problem wolf, you know, that you, they'll allow you to take it out. There's a lot of non-lethal methods, fencing. Flaggery is just a fancy name for flagging, stuff that flaps in the wind. Guard dogs. Range riders is actually hiring someone to ride the range and keep an eye on the wool, the cattle. A whole bunch of stuff that you can do. And I believe there's some compensation also if you're a rancher and you're losing a lot of your deer and elk, or your cattle and sheep. As far as hunting, there's a plan to monitor, you know, the big game populations. If they see fluctuations in deer or elk herds, there's things they can do. They can work on the deer habitat. They can manage hunting, maybe reduce the hunting for a year or two so that elk and deer population comes. But, you know, they can do better enforcement. But the interesting thing is that no matter what happens, with if you're a hunter in specific parts of the country, in Washington State, if you live in Okanagan County or Republic, and these are kind of conservative areas in Washington State, no matter what we do with the wolf and how we manage it, there's certain people that are still, they'll always blame the wolf for everything bad that happens around them. The wolves are they have to come up with ingenious ways to not get blamed for every bad thing that happens. In this case, they knocked out that poor moose, and they're going to try to make it look like an accident so they don't get blamed. All right, so I'm winding down. This is just a map of all the different wolf packs in Idaho. Not all of them are successfully breeding. What's interesting is this little, you can't see it too well, but this kind of cross-hatching is like a terminated, they call it terminated group. Basically, they went in and eliminated a pack. And what was interesting is I looked through here, and, you know, this is all wilderness, and there's no terminated wolves there. And then I kept going down here, and I got, Sun Valley.
No.
They terminated a group right there. And then I wandered over to Boise and look, there's a terminated wolf. So I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, wherever there's a population of us humans, we just can't live with an animal like the wolf around. We have to eliminate it. And, you know, in Sun Valley, somebody's poodle probably got chomped on. Arnold Schwarzenegger or Bruce Willis or Demi Moore went out and complained, and they had to get rid of those guys all live in Sun Valley. They all went, you know, they complained to somebody and they eliminated the wolves. Remember I showed you the map in Washington State with the North Cascades, the East Cascades, and South Cascades? Well, these are the numbers that they came up with, the number of wolves that they're going to leave in Washington State. So a total of 15 breeding packs, and in those... in the North Cascades, to take it off the to delist it, all they're saying is you're only going to need two wolf packs in all of the North Cascades, and then they'll take it off of the endangered species list. Basically, in my mind, this is a really low number. 15 wolf packs in Washington State. We've, I think, almost reached that right now. And 15 wolf packs. Right now we have about 50 wolves total in Washington State. But this is what they came up with, and it seems awfully low to me. These numbers, by the way, is so as soon as we have 6 breeding pairs in the whole state, they'll go from endangered to threatened. When we hit 12 breeding pairs in the state, they'll go from threatened to sensitive, and then when we hit 15 breeding pairs, they'll go from sensitive to being delisted. And when they get delisted, they'll become a game species. So then the state will come up with a hunting plan, which actually they just did in Minnesota for the first time in, I don't know, year, you know, 20 years or so. They now hunt them in Minnesota. And they this year they killed somewhere between 500 and 700 wolves were hunted in Minnesota this year. So that's all I have, except I want to read you a passage. I got this out of your library. It's called Out Among the Wolves. Apparently a whole bunch of short stories about wolves. It's in your library. Now, I want to read you a passage from a guy named Aldo Leopold. Mm-hmm. Aldo Leopold was a famous conservationist. Well, he wasn't to start out with. He was a hunter, and he's kind of right up there with John Muir and Gifford Pinchot. If you're a biologist or an ecologist, you know those names. So Aldo Leopold was stationed in 1938, 1939. He was stationed down in Arizona or New Mexico, and he was kind of like overseeing a forest, and there were wolves there. And Aldo Leopold was a hunter. And so in 1939, he believed that if there were no wolves, it would be great for hunting. So, well, he wrote an essay called Thinking Like a Mountain, and there's a passage in there that I want to read to you. The essay is called Thinking Like a Mountain, but he talks about one of the last wolves in this area, because at that time they used to shoot them on sight. And he talks about his experience when he actually shot a wolf. And so hold on to your seats here, Nala. So he was out on some rim rocks with a companion of his, and they were looking down on a creek. There was juniper trees around, and he's sitting up on the rocks, and he goes... So he talks about how his thinking changed from killing wolves to preserving. He goes, so my own conviction on this score dates from the day I saw a wolf die. We were eating lunch on a high rim rock at the foot of which a turbulent river elbowed its way. We saw what we thought was a doe fording the torrent, her breast awash in white water. When she climbed the far bank toward us and shook out her tail, we realized our error. It was a wolf. A half dozen other wolves, evidently grown pups, sprang from the willows and all joined in a welcoming melee of wagging tails and playful maulings. What was literally a pile of wolves writhed and tumbled in the center of an open flat at the foot of our rim rock. In those days, we had never heard of passing up a chance to kill a wolf. In a second, we were pumping lead into the pack, but with more excitement than accuracy. How to aim a steep downhill shot is always confusing. When our rifles were empty, the old wolf was down, and a pup was dragging a leg into impassable slide rocks. We reached the old wolf in time to watch a fierce green fire dying in her eyes. I realized then, and have known ever since, that there was something new to me in those eyes, something known only to her and to the mountain. I was young then and full of trigger itch. I thought that because fewer wolves meant more deer, that no wolves would mean hunter's paradise. But after seeing the green fire die, I sensed that neither the wolf nor the mountain agreed with such a view. That's all I have to say. Thanks a lot. So come see the movie at 7:45. I'll take any quick questions if there are any.
Can you talk a little bit about Wolf Haven in Tenino?
I don't know a lot about them, but there are Wolf Haven, you know, there are places that will take in abandoned wolves or wolf pups. You know, it's a, it's just a, I don't know a lot about it. Do you know more about it?
Well, it's just, you know, kind of in our neighborhood.
Yeah, they've raised wolves there for years, and they're a source of some research too. You know, they publish some research papers. And
do they release them?
No, they don't release them. Not that I know of.
They have quite a number of them.
What's that?
They have quite a number of them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. All right.
Wait, I got a question.
Yeah.
So the board that is providing sort of the guidelines to the Fish and Game, when they decided not to do any relocation, is that because the relocations that happened in Yellowstone were so successful?
I think so. From a group of 30 wolves over 2 years in Yellowstone, they basically repopulated Wyoming. Yeah, and so
are those numbers that you're seeing in Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, are they anywhere near what they were?
I don't think so. Like, certainly 50 wolves or 15 wolf packs in Washington State. You saw the number wolf pelts that were taken out in the 1800s. That's not anywhere near the level. But the wolf just is not going to be tolerated by a large segment. It's, you know, it takes people, you know, like myself or other people to speak up. What they did in Idaho and Wyoming is when the wolf population got so large, it became a game species. And so now you can hunt it. And that's going to artificially keep the wolf, they'll never get to their historic levels ever again. I don't think they'll ever get to historic levels. So once they reach, you know, we'll control them. We'll manage them by, you know, hunting. So, yeah.
Do you have a sense of what the population of wolves in this state could be? What a feasible...
I'd take a wild guess and
say... You can say anything and I believe you.
My guess is, you know, it could take 75 to 95 breeding packs, you know, breeding pairs.
So when you say breeding packs, is that just the alpha male and alpha female are breeding?
Yeah. Okay. A breeding pair is the official version of a breeding or successfully breeding is alpha male, alpha female, and they survive a year or more and produce at least two young. That when they do that, they're considered officially a breeding, successfully breeding pair. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff stacked against the wolves. They're not always successful. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned them taking large animals, but what I've heard about the wolf is primarily they eat, you know, rodents and rabbits and all those pesty animals that nobody wants around anyway.
Yeah, so, they do.
And they really keep the population down on that. They very rarely will take a big animal.
Right, yeah. And actually, I forgot to mention, so I just finished a book, and the wolves in the Arctic, up in the barren, you know, forest where the trees are about this tall. The wolves up there have a relationship with ravens, which is really cool. The ravens, the ravens will fly and find, like if a caribou or a deer or something comes anywhere within the hunting area, and the wolves, usually during the day they're resting, but the ravens will come and find the wolf pack and sit there, because the ravens are scavengers, by the way. They're in the corvid family, and they scavenge food. And the ravens will come and wake the wolves up. They'll make a lot of noise. This was all observed by people, and they, you know, kah, 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 and they fly off in the direction of the prey, and the wolves wake up, follow them, and then the wolves will down a sheep or a deer or a caribou, eat what they can, and when they leave, the ravens get their share. So there's a really cool relationship with the ravens.
Every time.
So, anyways, I think it's kind of neat. All this stuff that we don't know. So, that's all I have. Grab a handout if you've got any more questions about wolves.